Our guest is Clayton Moore, and he is the Lone Ranger. And, man, you've had a pretty busy day today, haven't you?
Chuck, we had a lot of fun. It was a great day, and I tell you, the audience, the people out there, the fans, your fans and my fans, they're fantastic.
That's why they're called fans, because they're
fantastic. We had a lot of people, didn't we?
Man, it was wall-to-wall people at the Civic Center.
I like your introduction. Thank you. Very kindly. You did a beautiful job, Chuck.
A privilege. Thank you very much. A pleasure to be able to do that. Now, you're a Chicago man, right?
Yep, I was born here in 1914.
1914, that means you're 39.
Thanks a lot, pal. Yeah,
and you went to Senn High School, didn't you?
Senn High School. Let's start in the beginning.
Okay.
First was Haight School, my grammar school, and then Sullivan Junior High School, which is now a high school.
Yes, uh-huh.
And then I went to Senn High School, which was about six blocks from my home on 6254 Glenwood Avenue.
Glenwood Avenue. Have you been back to the old home site recently?
Well, when I got off the plane yesterday afternoon, We drove to my old home, and I walked around the back, and the people next door came over, said hello, said, "You used to live here." I said, "Yeah." It was a great neighborhood, right just about a block from St. Ignatius Church.
Oh, that's a lot of memories then in the Windy City for you.
Now, yeah, it was just great. It really brought me back to my boyhood, and I walked around the back and saw my bedroom where I slept with my brother, and it was very exciting. You know, that's a good many years ago.
A few years back.
You know,
how many were in your family? You say your brother?
Well, mother and father. Mm-hmm. I had an older brother that was 4 years older than I was. My brother Howard, so we had five in the family.
Oh, a good. Everybody fought for the dinner table, right? The good seat next to the food.
Yeah, you know it, Chuck.
You were a very athletic young man, weren't you? An acrobat, as a matter of fact.
Yeah, I spent a good many years doing a trapeze act. And our headquarters was at the IAC, which is the Illinois Athletic Club, right across from the Art Institute.
Did you work in circuses?
I was in the circus for a good many years, played fairs, and my last engagement was in 1934 at the Chicago World's Fair. We were there all summer.
The Century of Progress.
Century of Progress, and we were between the two Thompson restaurants. It was called the Lagoon Theater.
The
name of my flying trapeze act was the Flying Bears, B-E-H-R-S.
And where did that name come from?
Well, that name came from Johnny Bear, who was the coach at the Illinois Athletic Club. He was the first Olympic boxing coach. Also, he trained Harold Osborne, who was the world champion high jump. And he started the roll over the high bar, which is now called, well, when I was growing up, it was called the Osborne Roll. And he was the world champion high jumper.
I understand that your troop was perhaps the youngest aerial act at the time, wasn't it?
Yeah, I guess we were the youngest aerial act in the world at the time. And I was taught to swim by a great swimmer who played Tarzan, and his name was Johnny Weissmuller, a good friend of mine.
My goodness, Tarzan and the Lone Ranger together in those early days.
That's going back, and his coach also was my coach. I was a swimmer, being in athletics, and his name was William Backrat.
You also worked as a model for a time, didn't you?
Yep. And when I left Chicago in 1935, after the World's Fair, a year later, I went to New York and was a John Robert Powers model. Stayed there till 1938. And then I went after my dream. My dream when I was a young boy was to be a policeman or a cowboy.
And you became?
And I became?
Both.
The Lone Ranger.
How did you become the Lone Ranger?
Well, I was awarded, I'll say awarded the role because to me it was an award. They tested a number of men out in California. I think there were about 50 to 75 men they tried out for the part. And at that time, I was at Republic Studios doing serials. I was king of the serials at Republic.
Indeed you were. You were in from the early 40s on for years, huh?
1940, my last serial was in 1949. The last one, I had a mask on my face.
Zorro.
It was the Ghost of Zorro, and I played the dual role Zorro.
Do you think the fact that you portrayed Zorro was a factor in your becoming the Lone Ranger? It's the story goes that George W. Trendle, who developed the Lone Ranger story in Detroit, really loved the character of Zorro and had patterned the Lone Ranger after that.
Yes, I believe that's just about what you said was hit the nail right on the head. However, George W. Trendle, who was WXYZ out of Detroit, produced mm-hmm. the Lone Ranger show. Fran Stryker was the writer, and I went through an extensive interview with him, no doubt about that. But he was a man, he wanted the Lone Ranger, even the radio Lone Ranger, Chuck, he wanted him to be a Superman-type mm-hmm. fellow. He didn't want him to bleed. If he got shot or injured, he didn't want him to bleed. And I didn't like that, to tell you the truth, because I thought the Lone Ranger should have a heart and soul.
He should be more vulnerable.
More mm-hmm. vulnerable, okay. That's a, mm-hmm. use that expression. Mm-hmm. And if he got shot, I think he should have bled like anybody else. So after the first 13 pictures, I talked to Mr. Trendle in Detroit, and I told him I would like to try to make the Lone Ranger character live. Let him be a real guy. Mm-hmm. Pat a kid on the head and take his hat off when he walked in the room when there was a lady there. And be a gentleman and have a heart and soul. And he said, go ahead, play him that way.
And that's the way you played him.
Yes, I'm very pleased they allowed me to play the character that way.
How many episodes of The Lone Ranger did you perform?
Well, I did 169 TV shows and 2 feature-length motion pictures. And I was replaced for 1 year by a gentleman by the name of John Hart. We had a little contractual problem, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. so I asked him to get another Lone Ranger. They did, but the public, they said, we want old Kemosabe back, but we'll stop eating Cheerios. So the letters started pouring in, and John did it for 1 year, and that was it. They asked me to come back as the Lone Ranger, and I was very, very happy, very pleased.
Before you served in the Lone Ranger role, you served in the United States Air Force, didn't you?
I was in the Air Force for, 3 years, I believe, mm-hmm. 3.5 years.
During World War II?
Yes.
And what did you do?
I was a plane dispatcher.
Uh-huh.
And I was in special services, too, mm-hmm. entertainment end, and the motion picture part, of course, mm-hmm. In Culver City, that's where Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, we shot a lot mm-hmm. of things in Metro for the Army. And I was in uniform at the time, of mm-hmm. course.
You were, of course, well-known because of your role in so many of the serials. And as the king of the serials, you appeared in a great many of those things. Now, being very athletic, did you do most of your own stunts in those serials?
All the horseback riding and that I did. I trained. I had 2 silvers.
Mm-hmm.
The second silver was mine, and I broke him and put him in pictures as a 3-year-old and started him training when he was a 2-year-old.
When
the fights we did have doubles.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, on the close-ups, we did almost as much as the doubles did.
I understand that in the I was doing some research on your career, and mm-hmm. I was reading some things about the stars of the serials, especially on the Republic lot. They would sometimes choose the stars because of their similarity in looks to some of the stuntmen, because there was so much stunt work that had to be done in those early serials that they wanted to get someone who looked like the guy who was doing all the fighting in there. Now, I suppose that wasn't as much a problem with you because you were so athletic and involved in all of those things.
Well, we had doubles in the fights.
Mm-hmm.
Chuck, as I being repetitious, mentioning it again, it wasn't easy, let's put it that way.
Now, when The Lone Ranger premiered on television, on ABC-TV, the New York Times said it was just another Western and not a notably good one at that, but within a year, the show, which was in the beginning on Thursday nights at 7:30 in the East, it was in the top 10 and a big moneymaker for them.
Mm-hmm.
You did a great job with all of that stuff, and I can see where the first season was over, the fans wanted the real Lone Ranger, because that's what certainly that you were. And the show has been in syndication ever since it went off the air.
Yeah, let's see. We shot 13 pictures first.
Mm-hmm.
The contract was picked up, and then we shot 78. And after the 78th picture, I left for a year. John Hart came in and mm-hmm. did 52. Then I came back and did 52 and 39.
Now, you said that it was hard work doing The Lone Ranger. Did was there any fun in it for you?
Oh, yeah, sure. Mm-hmm. We enjoyed it. But it was hard work. You know, when you do, I hold the record, Jay Silverheels and myself, Toto. Mm-hmm. We shot 3 pictures a week.
3?
What you see on the television screen, we made 3 of those mm-hmm. in 1 week.
My goodness, that certainly must have been very strenuous for you.
And we'd shoot 15 at a time. And the writers kept, we had about 6 or 7 writers on the show, and they kept busy writing. And we'd finish 15, take a break for a week, maybe a week and a half, 15 more, and away we'd go.
Would you do 26 or 39 for a whole season?
That I don't remember.
Usually, in those early days, I think the season was a minimum of 26 shows and possibly 39. And then, of course, you've been making personal appearances all over the country for many, many years.
You know that.
And, of course, the thousands of people come out to see you everywhere, as they did today at the Civic Center for the Museum of Broadcast Communication. Now, you were a very pretty young man when you started doing The Lone Ranger. And you, I have to tell you, haven't changed a bit in all those years.
Thank you, Chuck.
No, you really haven't changed at all.
Well, I started, I was 36 years old when I started mm-hmm. The Rangers.
Mm-hmm. Now, was it easy for you to remember lines like that when you're doing 3 shows in a week? Was that, that couldn't have been very easy.
T-O-U-G-H. That was tough.
I bet it.
Once you got your character established, mm-hmm. it wasn't as difficult as it sounds, because you played him the same way you played him as the American hero, the fair play, mm-hmm. the justice, the law and order. That was already established, so I didn't have to worry about that. It was a matter of, you know, of memorizing. We didn't use prompt boards.
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't
mm-hmm.
use prompt boards, so everything had to be done to memory.
It was really, really something special to do that. Now, how about the Jay Silverheels? He was absolutely a perfect Tonto. He came out of Canada, didn't he?
Brantford.
Uh-huh.
He was born in Brantford, mm-hmm. Canada, on the Indian Reservation, the Six Nations Reservation. His family migrated to Buffalo, New York, and he was playing a lacrosse game in Buffalo, and Joey Brown, the comedian,
mm-hmm.
saw him and said, "You should be in the motion picture business," and he brought him back to Hollywood, and that's how Jay started in the picture business.
Now, while he was in the Lone Ranger series, he did other roles in feature films and movies, but
prior to The Lone Ranger, yes.
Yeah. But now, as far as yourself is concerned, aside from that one period of time when you weren't the TV Lone Ranger, have you had any other role in films or on television besides The Lone Ranger?
You mean when I laid off there for
yeah,
a year?
Right.
Oh, yes, I think that year I did 45 pictures.
45 in 1 year? You mean serial chapters?
No, other pictures. I worked with Gene Autry and Roy Rogers and the Durango Kid, Charlie Sterrett, the Cisco Kid, Duncan Ronaldo, Hopalong Cassidy. I wore the black hat then.
Uh-oh.
I played the heavy, the bad guy with the beard and the scar. But my favorite role is the white hat.
Of course.
You know, when I go up into the big ranch in the sky, I'll have it on.
Well, I hope that's going to be a long time before you go to that
big
ranch.
Who knows? I'm very happy, very thankful that I've stayed real healthy. I'm 71 years of age now.
Mm-hmm.
September, I'll be 72.
As I said before, you look wonderful, and it was really great to have you with us today.
Well,
now,
thank you,
today,
Chuck.
At the Civic Center, you related in a somewhat of a capsule form the legend of the Lone Ranger, and I wonder if I could ask you to repeat that for us.
The whole legend?
The legend of the Lone Ranger.
How about
how
if
came
I just
about?
Did the Lone Ranger creed?
That's okay. That's
right.
Okay.
I tell you what to do. Let me do the American Heritage speech for you.
Okay.
And as if we're talking to the kids out in Radio Land, and then I'll go that right into the legend, the I Believe Creed. How's that?
That would be wonderful. And remember, we're all kids out here in Radio
Land. You know,
Land,
all
right?
Big kids and little kids.
Absolutely.
Both. All
right.
This is for the kids of your listening audience.
Thank you.
You know, boys and girls, our forefathers have handed down to us a great nation, which you and others like you must protect and preserve. It's the heritage of every American, the right to live as free people in a land of true equality and tremendous opportunity. Now, I'd like all of you boys and girls to do me a big favor. When you study, study hard, and learn all about this country of ours, America, the United States of America. And kids, when you play, now, whether it's school or in the playgrounds, but please, boys and girls, never play on the streets, but play fairly and squarely, and be honest with those you meet. By doing these things, each and every one of you will help make this country of ours even greater than it is today. This is your heritage, boys and girls. This is the heritage of every American. And I believe to have a friend, a man must be one, that all men are created equal, and everyone has the right and the power within themselves to help make this a greater world. That God put the firewood on earth, but every man must gather and light it himself. I believe in making the best out of what equipment that we have, and that sooner or later, somewhere, somehow, we must settle with this earth and make payment for what we have taken. And I believe in being prepared physically, mentally, and morally, and to fight when necessary for that which is right. That this country of the people and by the people and for the people shall live forever. And everything changes but the truth. And the truth alone lives on forever. I believe in my Creator, my country, and one thing for sure, my fellow man. This is Clayton Moore.
Well, I want to thank you very much for being the Lone Ranger and a symbol of all that's good in this country. Thank you very much.
Very good, Chuck. And thank you for a nice MC job. You are a pro. Thank you very much.
Clayton Moore, the Lone Ranger.
Adios.
Thanks very much. Adios, Kemosabe.